humbled before the presence of our Lord to praise and to honor and to exalt his name, as we have done in song already, as we're singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord to praise him. And as you think about his power, his almighty power and divine wisdom, and as you think about Nebuchadnezzar, very likely the most powerful king, which is demonstrated in Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And that powerful king praised the God of heaven after he was humbled in his pride, as Daniel 4 verse 27 relates, to the whole world during that period of time. And for all time to come, all people will know concerning Nebuchadnezzar, as wicked and as prideful as he was humbled before God and praised the God of heaven. I thought I was going to be done this morning, but we're going to, Lord willing, finish it tonight. If I don't, something is seriously wrong. Christians being saved from fiery trials. And of course, I'm not going to re-preach this morning's the lesson, but we're under severe pressure. We're going under trials. We need to recognize, we need to stand up for truth. We need to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, as we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel had done. We need to recognize that in the end, God is going to rescue us from every evil deed. Jesus wanted even the wicked people who crucified him, he wanted them to be saved, and he died for them for that to happen. But obviously, we think about concerning conditions whereby we could be forgiven of our sins, to obey the gospel of Christ. About 3,000 people did on the day of Pentecost. As we're talking about the world, and as we consider Nebuchadnezzar and his prideful attitude before he humbled himself, we need to recognize concerning the world that we live in today, and maybe concerning us sometimes, even as Christians, can be prideful in our sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy not long before he's going to be executed for the cause of Christ. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, "Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Certainly see that in our society today, as we just open up the newspaper and we hear the reports concerning all the ungodliness. And the whole thing about it is they're prideful in their sin. The Apostle Paul, certainly it was relevant in the first century. And so we're not just talking about, as some would just look upon today, all right, well, now we're in the last days, and Christ is going to return in this generation, as so many have taught. We recognize this has been a problem for a long period of time. But the Apostle Paul warned us about these things, as he is inspired by the Spirit. And think about concerning, we talked about homosexuals, and what is it they say about themselves? Well, gay pride. They're proud of their sin. And as they talk about coming out of the closet, they want to put it in your face and challenge you, because now they had the law on their side, to whereby you'd be considered discriminated against them if you just point out the scriptures to them. Well, what it needs, Christians, is we recognize, how are we going to deal with those who are prideful and arrogant and revilers, and how are we going to deal with those individuals? Some individuals say, well, what can we possibly do? I know what you're going to say about that. You're just going to let them walk all over you? We need to recognize what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5. He had just talked about the elders here who are shepherding the flock, who are not lording over those allotted to their charge, but being examples to the flock. So basically the power of those who are in the eldership, but doesn't go to their head, that they become prideful and arrogant. I have this great, great power. And we need to recognize concerning that they are examples to the flock. And they're to joyfully serve the Lord. And we're thankful that Bruce and Brett do so for us. In verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And notice how the transition here in verse 5, you younger men, likewise be subject to your elders. Is that a problem in our society? Well, it most certainly is. There's a total lack of respect for elders in our society. Not just talking about concerning the elders over the local church, but those who are older and wiser in their years than those who are younger and tend to think that, you know, we're smarter and more intelligent than those who are older. Need to recognize here of those who are younger to show respect towards your elders. And then he said, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The demonstration of Nebuchadnezzar and bringing him down, that God is able to bring the proud down and humble them. In verse 6, and so here's the admonition for us as Christians. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. We read through the Bible, and maybe we wonder sometimes, is God really going to recompense the wicked when they're boastful and they're arrogant and they're reviling others and we're enduring through persecution? The Apostle Peter said, you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you when? At the proper time. Are you worried maybe and anxious about different things and wondering about the future? Maybe the future of the country, maybe the future of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. How is the future going to be? We don't know. We don't know that, but we know who holds the future, and we know that it's under God's mighty hand, and recognizing by his power that he could end it all immediately. But God is not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. So cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And that's what we need to remember as you think about going through and being put down by others, and they're exalting themselves above you, just to see that Nebuchadnezzar had done with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he was humbled in the end. And so be of sober spirit, verse 8. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I know we mentioned that this morning, but to recognize the devil is working. He's seeking to devour you. In verse 9, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. You can resist the devil. You can be firm in your faith. We know that brethren, as we oftentimes we talk about, our brethren who are definitely suffering overseas. But hopefully we recognize that if we're faithful Christians, that we are enduring through suffering also. For standing up for what's right, standing up for the truth. And what we need to remember is that Christ is always there. In Hebrews chapter 7, Jeff Hodges led us in many songs about Jesus Christ. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. And so we need to recognize Hebrews chapter 7, We're thankful that we're not under the Old Testament and offering the sacrifices, and the priest would constantly die and there'd have to be a new priest. They were prevented from death from continuing. But Jesus, in verse 24, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. Why? Since he always lives to make intercession for them. We think about those who are prideful and arrogant. We need to recognize that, you know what? They're going to die. And if they haven't obeyed the gospel, they're going to die in their sins. And they're going to die a cruel and agonizing death, which we might think about revenge, to whereby there is nothing compared to suffering eternal torment. And to recognize that he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. We mentioned about the Apostle Peter and the Lord praying for him this morning, that his faith wouldn't fail, and once he has turned again, go strengthen your brethren. And you see concerning God answering that prayer, and the Apostle Peter is able to preach that gospel sermon and to be useful in the service of the Lord, be willing to give up his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. In verse 26, as he continues, it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. Yes, the Lord is going to fulfill his promises. And he's always there interceding for the saints so that we can go boldly to God's throne of grace to receive grace and mercy to help in time of need, as he mentioned a few chapters earlier in Hebrews 4 and verses 14 through 16. We need to recognize concerning the world, as they're prideful in their sin, what is going to happen in the end. Maybe we don't think or realize this enough when you're suffering. But we need to. In Philippians chapter 2, we remember in the context here in Philippians chapter 2, we need to have the attitude and mindset of Christ. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In verse 9, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, what does he say? What is going to happen? Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I can imagine there's a lot of those who are atheists, those who hate God and think that passage, that is never going to happen. I am never going to bow and confess Jesus as Lord. I'm never going to do that, no matter what you say and what the Scripture says. Oh, yes, they will. Just as Nebuchadnezzar had to bow down and to recognize the God of heaven and proclaim it to all of creation. For those who would say, well, you know, he's just the God of the Jews and he only cared about his people back in the Old Testament, we recognize he was able to humble kings because he rules in the kingdoms of men. And Jesus said, all authority belongs to me in heaven and on earth. Well, they're not respecting him now. Will it ever happen? Oh, yes, they will bow and they will confess Jesus as Lord. But the problem is it's going to be too late. They're going to be condemned. Well, we need to recognize as Christians and look forward to the time when Jesus speaks these words in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5. Think about the power of the Word of God. For when Lazarus is told, they said, get up, Lazarus. Rise, Lazarus. And immediately, by his power, he is raised from the dead. And of course, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of God, and he's going to return. And Jesus said in the future, in John 5, verse 28, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." You can imagine those who are mocking and cursing and blaspheming the God of heaven. You mentioned this passage. Oh, that is never, ever going to happen. Because the problem is concerning, as you look at this physical world and all the funerals that you have been through and all the cemeteries out there as since the first century, how many people have been raised from the dead? How many times has it happened? So, well, it hasn't happened and it's never going to happen. But we believe in the power of the Word of God and that this is going to happen. And we're doing the good deeds, and we recognize what Jesus said here, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life. When we hear the preacher speaking and talking and speaking these words, as you're at the tomb of a loved one, a dear friend, and you think about these words that Jesus had spoken, yes, they're going to be resurrected from the grave to eternal life. Those who are faithful Christians, that is going to happen, and that should be very comforting that it's going to happen. When you think about concerning the power, what the power? Where is the power? Well, the power, as you think about the Word of God, that is going to happen in Philippians chapter 3, as the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Philippian brethren. In Philippians chapter 3, first of all, let us notice concerning the Apostle Paul and his faithful example before the Philippian brethren. He said in Philippians 3, verse 17, as opposed to those who are walking in sin, "Brethren, join and follow my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping." Think Paul was heartless? Many people say, well, Paul was just heartless. Well, it just seemed like he was just so cruel to people. And, you know, he was just hellfire and brimstone. And think that he has no compassion on the people. No, he had compassion. He said, "I tell you, even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ." He is saddened by that. Because, verse 19, he knows their end. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their appetite. Whose glory is in their shame. Who set their minds on earthly things. Their appetite is their flesh. They're thinking about just worldly things, and they might be considered a good old boy. Somebody who maybe does even lots of good. But they're enemies of the cross of Christ. In verse 20, we as Christians need to recognize our citizenship is in heaven, from it which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we eagerly awaiting for His return? Joyfully look forward to that time. Verse 21, what will He do? Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. By what power? By the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. You think about the power with which this world is being held up today. I have to admit, maybe we don't think about His power enough. This universe that we live in, the power that is in His hands, holding it together in Hebrews chapter 1. The Hebrew writer talks about this in Hebrews chapter 1, when he said, "God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, and He is a radiance of His glory, and the exact representation of his nature. And here's the key words right here. And upholds all things by the word of his power. Same power. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. And immediately, there is light. And you think about everything coming into existence in 6 days, with which the world ridicules and mocks. That is impossible for that to happen as they look upon this universe and would trust in a big bang. And to recognize concerning by that power, by the word of his power, here he's raised from the dead, and we have made purification of sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Same power by which we can be raised from the watery grave of baptism to rise to walk in newness of life and be forgiven of all our sins through his shed blood, through our obedience to the gospel. And by his power that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That the word of God is living and active in us. That we take it seriously and that we take it soberly. That we are studying to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And we recognize as we live by that power that we can't live by ourselves. That we have an influence and an impact in our society upon especially concerning our spouses and our children, our parents, our relatives, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe as you might not think about your powerful influence with others, but as we talked about before, is that those who would try to shame you to give up your faith by your gentleness and reverence as you sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, you can put them to shame to whereby they might recognize their sin and obey the gospel of Christ. And eventually, as you think about concerning our lives, is that being faithful in the death, receiving that crown of life by his power, that we're going to be raised from the dead to be able to live with him eternally, praising God forever and ever and ever. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you ready for that day to come? It's going to come. And the whole thing about it is that if we decide, and maybe as time goes on, we grow weary like those of the Hebrew brethren. They grew weary as they are enduring through persecution. And Hebrew book is such a wonderful book to think about Christ and that he is much better than the angels, much better than anything here upon this earth because it's eternal. And in heaven, there isn't going to be any more sin or temptation or trials. There isn't going to be any mourning or crying or pain. All those things will have passed away. And it's hard for us to imagine that period of time. But you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you at the proper time. Don't you look forward to that day, to the Lord's return? If you're not ready for that day to come, and think about concerning this, boy, it'd just be so much easier to just be like the world and just be comfortable in our sins. God forbid that we should ever let that happen to us, to whereby we get comfortable. And I'm sorry to say, and sad to say, that many brethren have gone that route. It seems to be easier. But torment will never end. The pain will never end. That's why Paul could weep over those who had become enemies of the cross of Christ. Don't head towards that direction. As you think about concerning us being just so very few in number, and I just wonder if, is God really going to keep his promises? Well, as surely as the sun has risen this morning and the sun set, or is setting now, it will happen. If you need to obey the gospel, why not? Tonight, if you're a penitent believer, as Saul Then when he was told to rise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord, he did so immediately. And now when we hear the invitation, this sometimes we maybe get in the habit to whereby some brethren won't even offer the invitation. Well, everybody's heard it before. Where's the power of the Word of God to whereby the preacher is not going to offer the invitation? If I don't offer the invitation, Brett and Bruce, you get on to me for that. Because the power of the Word of God will save souls. Or if you need to be restored, if you need to come back to the fold, the Lord is desiring that you return, because He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Repent and pray. You can be restored this evening. You're subject to have His invitation. You're not prepared for that judgment day. God calls. We encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.